The 17th day of August, 1982. We are in Kelso Township, St. Leon, Indiana. I am interviewing Rosemary Lane, Loretta Hoag, and Carl Hoag.
Okay. We'll let you start, Rosemary. You want to tell us where
you're... Oh, my pick on me.
Okay. You want to tell us where you were born, and you can just go from there as to where your ancestors came from. Where were you born at?
I was born right across the lake over there in that house, in St. Leon.
St. Leon, okay, what was the year?
1907.
Okay, and then where were your parents from?
My mother was from Napoleon, and my dad was born in St. Leon.
Okay, so then who was the first ones to immigrate to the United States? Do you know which of your ancestors were? Do you know of any? Was it like your grandparents? Were they the ones that came over?
Yes, they came over from Germany and settled in Cincinnati at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to St. Louis on this farm here.
Okay. What about you, Loretta? Where were you born?
St. Leon.
Okay, and your parents?
St. Leon, Southgate.
Okay, and then who were the first ones to come? Do you know? But would it have been your grandparents, you think?
No.
Or
no.
Would it have been further back than that?
Further back, I guess.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't really matter. They just want to know if you have any idea.
No way.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Pops, my dad's grandparents came from Germany.
So that would be like your great-grandparents. Is that right? Yeah. And what year were you born in?
1913.
Okay, Mr. Hoag, what about you? Where were you born at?
3 miles west of St. Leon.
3 miles west of St. Leon. And then were your parents born here too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, did they come from Germany or did their parents, or your...
From my dad's side, they come from Germany, yeah. But my mother's side, I think they were born, my grandparents, they were born here in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Further back, I really don't know nothing about them.
Yeah. But you've been in St. Leon for quite some time then.
All my life.
We can just go on, and Rosemary can interject when she comes back. What they want to know is, what was St. Leon like when you were growing up? I mean, were there very many businesses? I mean, what were the people like? What are your impressions of what St. Leon was like when you were growing up?
Well, little grocery stores.
There was more business at St. Leon than business places than there is today.
Really?
Yeah, but less houses, I'd say. There's a lot of buildings going on.
There was less houses, the population has increased.
Yeah.
Where in Yorkville, they say the population has decreased. Yeah, but here it has increased. What businesses were there?
Blacksmith? Now, wait a minute.
I went to school, there's...
You know, we were just talking about businesses in St. Leon.
There was three grocery stores, two saloons, blacksmith shop, post office, cider mill.
Two cider mills. Did you?
No, that's okay. Go on.
That was back in 1918 or 20.
Do you remember who owned the grocery stores?
Huffman had one. There was a store and a grocery combined. Next had a grocery and hardware store. Mm-hmm. And Schumann, they had a tavern and a grocery store combined.
Was that Huffman?
Huh?
John Schumann.
Oh, John.
John Schumann and, well, John's dad.
Oh, yeah.
And they also sold farm implements.
Well, didn't Joe Huffman have a store and a saloon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you got the, when St. Leon was first settled?
No, we don't.
In 1815.
Okay. What else you got?
Thank you.
the early population of St. Lin consisted wholly of farmers. They cleared a little plot of the land and raised grain, animals, and vegetables. The grain was corn. Of grain, corn was not a good crop. However, it was grown by everyone. Most of St. Lin is a hilly country. Corn left the soil exposed. It had two flour mills. Were established a short distance from St. Lin. One mill was Hinton Mill, established on the mouth of the Whitewater in Logan Creek in 1813. The other mill was established by the Lawrences on Tanner's Creek shortly after their settlement in 1817. This was probably located near the present highway, State Road 46. The farmers of St. Lin probably used these mills until John C. Stanger built a flour mill within the city limits in 1854.
Now, mostly all the people at this time, they were farmers, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is predominantly a farming community. Yeah. Well, that's okay, go on.
He also had a distillery, didn't he, John?
Yeah,
yeah, distillery here?
Distillery.
What did they,
it
they
says
make?
At one time St. Lin had two distilleries and one winery and two cider presses. Yeah.
That was my dad's grandpa.
Oh, that's John Stanger? Was mm-hmm. your dad's grandpa?
And my grandma's.
They don't give
yeah,
the names
yeah.
in here.
What did they make, just whiskey then at these distilleries
yeah.
or what?
Mm-hmm.
So this would have been way before the Prohibition.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It says they made brandy and forms of whiskey from their fruits. They had orchards of pears, apples, peaches, cherries, plums, prunes, apricot, and grapes.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Well, what other impressions did you have? Did you see St. Lin as a close community? I mean, were the people really close when you were growing up, or?
Oh, yes, it was then, and helped each other out.
I mean, because that seems to be a typical situation in a lot of these communities.
Or neighborly.
Right, because they said that, you know, they used to have, like, neighborhood parties. I mean, they used to have more parties and such where people
oh,
got
yeah. together. They all get together. They've done any building or anything like that. It was all donated work. They never hired anybody. They never paid any. Nobody ever got paid.
No, everybody helped each other.
Yeah.
Well, where was the meeting place like for the men? Did they meet at the store or at the saloon or?
Well,
or both?
Saloons or blacksmith shops. They just sat around in blacksmith shops and talk to women. Any little business place, a gathering place.
See, Krause's had a blacksmith shop right up the road here, didn't
yeah,
it?
That was right up there. The filling station was across the road there. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did anything extraordinary happen? Like, were there ever any murders in St. Lin or robberies or anything like that that you can remember?
Not in our days.
Or do you remember your parents or any of your grandparents talking about anything like that? Because they were just wondering if maybe something had filtered down the line that, you know, people, you know, was never recorded or anything. They were wondering if anything, do you remember anything like that? Do you remember your grandparent? I guess it would probably been your grandparents talking about Morgan's Raiders or anything like that.
Didn't that go through there where John Wilhelm lived, he used to say? The county line, Dearborn and Franklin?
No.
No?
Morgan's Trail is between Dover and Elsa's over
yeah.
right here. What they call the Morgan Trail.
Yeah, do you remember any stories about that?
No. The biggest crime them days was horse stealing.
Well, that's probably.
They used to talk about it, they'd hang them for horse stealing.
Do you think they ever hung anyone in St. Leon?
I don't think so. I never heard of it.
If they ever caught them, they probably would have, though.
Now, here it says St. Leon had five general stores.
At one time? Well, see, a house, they had a store there.
Right.
Where the garage sits now. Where Andy's garage was.
But Al Knecht didn't then, at that time.
It's the business of St. Lynn. It was both legal and illegal. The illegal business consisted of making moonshine.
Yeah. Well, that was back in about 1928.
I think that was typical in a lot of these places, yeah. Don't you?
So they had 5 general stores, 2 distilleries, 1 winery, 2 cider mills, 2 breweries, and 3 ice houses, 1 sorghum mill, and a molasses mill, 2 flour mills, 3 sawmills, 1 cooper shop, 2 brickyards, 3 wagon shops, 3 blacksmith, 1 shoemaker, 2 cigar manufacturers, and 1 dentist.
What?
Well, that must have been way back.
Well, I don't know when they had the dentist.
I don't either. That had been before.
But the rest of them, I know where all that place was practically worse.
It says these business existed from 1818 to approximately 1930.
Well, now, the same downtown area would have probably been where a lot of these businesses were, or has that changed any?
It was right around town, wasn't
Well, they're practically all gone now, outside of just the stores and well, they got their body shop, the garage, one store and a tavern.
Yeah, I guess probably a lot of the old buildings would be gone now.
And that's all that's left, say, Lenny, for business, post office and everything else is gone.
Well, when did the post office leave here? Was it after World War II, like the rest of them, or was it before?
It was after. But I don't know the year. That I didn't find any year.
Rose Sherman had it last.
Yeah, and she had it when Paul got killed, I know. Because she wasn't going to take the insurance from the government. She said that wouldn't bring Paul back.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids talked her into taking it anyway, so she was entitled to it. They knew it wouldn't bring Paul back. And then she had to have 2 people to sign that. And I just happened to be in the post office when they was talking about it, and she had me sign that paper. That's what I remember. It was after World War II.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember World War I any? Or was your son little? Did your dad have to go fight in World War I? I mean, it was such a short-term war, too.
I had a cousin that was in the Navy, Albie Roths, that my mom and dad raised after his mom and dad died.
And he was in the service center?
Yeah, he was in the Navy. He
got ugly, wasn't he? First he was in the Army, and then later he joined the Navy. After the war, he was always joined the Navy. He just died there a couple of years ago. He just retired and went to California.
Oh. Did he make a career out of it? Or?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what do you remember about the Depression, besides probably being poor? I mean, did you find it a really difficult time around here, or? It wasn't that difficult?
There's one right in back of you, Carl. Now.
I see. It really never bothered the farmers much around here, I don't think. That is farmers that was established.
Isn't that when they killed the pigs? Was it right after?
Well, that was after that. That was Roosevelt was in.
Who did they used to kill the pigs for?
Well, they said it was oversupply.
There was an oversupply and they had to kill them?
Yeah, they wanted to raise the price on these farm commodities.
And you had to kill the pigs?
Oh, you just didn't have to, I guess, but...
It was suggested or whatever?
Yeah.
For heaven's sakes. I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many did people around here kill them, or...?
Well, what they done mostly, they sold all their sows and just quit raising
them. Well, what are your other impressions of depression? I mean, did it change your lives any, or...?
I don't think so.
No.
After you thrashed, you took your wheat to the mill and you got your, well, we got 3 barrels of flour, or 2, I guess. And we got a barrel of salt, and we got our sugar. And that stuff lasted you for a year. You didn't run the store like people do now.
Altogether different.
The farmers, I don't think, felt the depression.
You didn't really need any money.
No, you didn't need any money. You raised everything. You canned everything.
So, But you were younger then and such, but then I guess you just got together. You didn't have to worry about entertainment or anything then.
No.
No.
No TV or anything
like
that.
They were going to go someplace, you had to walk, and so you didn't go very far.
That's probably about, I know. Well, then we're coming up to like World War II. Did that affect you? I mean, didn't they ration the gas and such?
Uh-huh. They had stamps. They had food stamp pouches. Yeah. Meat
well,
stamps.
There was another thing. The farmer got all the gas he needed.
Oh, that's
for
right.
For farm use.
Sure.
Yeah. He ran short in the old Model T for a couple of gallons. There you go anyhow, see?
Yeah, so it didn't affect it that much at all.
No, but they had sugar stamps and coffee.
Yeah.
What's that?
Shoes. Yeah. Stamps to buy shoes. Stuff.
But I don't think it hurt the farmers any.
No. Were there very many of them from St. Leon get killed in World War II?
5,000.
Sherman, Gilden.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's 5 graves up there.
Seems like it.
I'm going to be able to know that.
Why?
I couldn't tell you that this would all pass.
You think there were 5 of them killed?
I'm sure there was.
I got their look.
Yeah.
Well, they might not all be buried, say then.
I think they are.
Yeah, they're all the Ruskin and Cemetery.
Yeah. Well, you probably all went to the Catholic school in St. Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember much about that? Was it a public school at the time you went?
Parochial.
It was parochial?
Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
I know some of the other schools were considered public schools. And St. Leon was considered appropriate. Like, do you remember, what was your curriculum? What were your powers of studies? Did you take German in school? Did they teach it?
They quit that about a year before I started.
Oh, because of World War I?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that.
I think I had it the first year, maybe the first 2 years.
And then they quit it after that?
Mm-hmm.
And the sisters I taught were obviously probably from Oldenburg?
Yes.
Do you remember any of them, who they were?
Well, first one I had was Sister Magella. I had her in the first 4 grades. And I had Sister Adelinda in the next 3 grades. No, it only had been 2 because I had Sister Frances Marie in the 7th grade and Sister Ludovica in the 8th grade.
Did you have different ones too, or were they?
Sister Michella, Sister Antonina, Sister Cecilia, Sister Aralinda. And she died during school term, and then Sister Josepha, I think that was it.
Did you ask me what year our school was closed?
No, was it in
67, 68? 73.
73?
Yeah, 72 and 73.
When was the school open here? Do you know when they first built that school?
That should be here too. In 1856, they built a log schoolhouse. It was taught by the Sisters of St. Francis. And in 1859, the cornerstone of the present school was laid. That's where Louis Schumann lives. And did you know our bells had a name, our church bells? I think I wrote that down on the page that was.
When you went to school, it obviously probably was pretty strict. Were the sisters
that was
pretty
strict?
Yes. Like, do you remember what time you went to school from? Was it all day?
Oh, yes. Well, you first went to Mass.
You went to Mass every day?
And then we had our catechism and Bible history reading, and then school started.
Do you remember when you started school? Was it in September? Or
September.
And you went through to May? Or
went after Easter. And I went to school.
School started in September.
Yeah, but we started school the week after an Easter week. Didn't we, Carl? We started school in Easter, spring. Went that month or two, whatever it was, and then back in September.
You mean you started school after Easter?
See, yeah, Easter Monday we always had off, and then on Easter Tuesday, first grader started.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, right. I know we did.
And they probably changed it?
They must have changed that.
Yeah, it's been changed.
I started in September?
Well, the first year you went to school, you probably started.
Yeah, you had to already.
In the spring, a couple of months, and then for about 6 weeks it lasted probably. Huh?
And then you started back up again in September, and then how long did you go?
Was it May?
We went almost to the end of June.
Yeah, it lasted pretty long. Because, see, I only went the same day on one full season, one full year school term. We had a little school about a three-quarter mile west of where we lived. We were in there as a public school.
Mm-hmm.
But then one full year we were in the St. Lynn. And we'd always go to St. Lynn in the spring, about 5 or 6 weeks after the public school closed, we'd go to Catholic school.
What were the Catholic masses like at that time? I mean, obviously they were said in Latin. Were they long?
Oh, they might last a little longer than usually.
Yeah.
And did you go to church like twice on Sunday? Did you go?
Did they have
the afternoon prayers?
Yeah.
What did they call
Vespers.
Those?
Vespers.
Vespers. That's right. I guess you probably see a big change in the religion from when you grew up to now.
They'd
like to know your impressions of it. What do you think? Do you like the newer religion? Or
I like it. Now you know what the Mass is like. You can keep on praying with the priest, I think.
The only thing I don't like about it, I don't think women should give up communion.
Really?
No, I don't think they should. They want to do them things when they go to the convent.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their own impressions of that.
Well, yes.
I don't know, but I mean, they could say the same thing about men giving it out. They should have gone to the priesthood then, too. I know, it is quite a change.
That's all right for nuns.
But I remember when I was a little kid, I mean, even if you touched the host,
right.
You thought you were going to go to hell for sure.
Right.
And now, anybody can give out the host, and they've changed it so much.
And eat meat on Fridays.
Oh, I know. Oh, I could. Do you just remember Father Walsh?
Uh-huh.
Over at Yarkville?
Yes.
Oh, I can remember I accidentally ate bacon on a Friday, and I was such a good kid. I was only like in the third or fourth grade, and I went and confessed it to him, and he made me say a whole rosary as penance. Oh, I couldn't believe that. Oh, I couldn't believe it. I know. But that's how strict they were on it.
Oh, yeah, they were strict.
They were, but it's really changed since then.
You probably remember when Father Edwards used to preach in German.
Yeah, really is.
He preached that.
Yeah, he'd make a sermon in German.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
Andrews.
Father Andrews.
Oh.
I was. Maybe.
Is that when Father Walsh was
over
at Yorkville?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I never realized that, but I guess I probably would be. Because you could have probably went to confession in German, too,
yeah.
Couldn't you?
Oh, there's people still go to confession in Germany.
Out here? I don't know if there's anyone else around I've heard of, but I didn't know people still went to confession in Germany.
Your mom, I bet, did.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know a lot of them wanted to until Father Walsh's time when he refused to hear them in German. He told them to speak. But a lot of people Like my dad said, they just didn't know how else to go but in German.
That's right.
You know, there's really nothing wrong with that at all. I know I probably asked you before, do you remember any of your people, what I've run across a lot is some of the German people were kind of superstitious. Did you ever remember, because I can remember my grandmother telling me, you know, talking about what she called the hexes and such. Do you know any stories about?
Yeah. There's a story in that literature, the history there I give to you.
Mm-hmm. What is it? You know, you can put it on tape.
We had a path back, practically past our house. The old witch used to go through all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
It tells you in that history there.
Well, maybe I shouldn't even mention the name.
Oh, you don't have to, but the story is...
Well, there's an old house sitting up there that my dad owns on a 40-acre place, and there was another old house sitting up right in the back of our place where we lived. It was about a quarter of a mile across it. And they said that you see the witch go through there all dressed in white.
I know.
Well, the house right behind our place here, that burned down one night, and we blamed it.
On the witches?
Yeah, so it was fun.
Did they have you scared as a little kid about it? Mm-hmm. Because I know some of the stories I had heard, you know, that they had said that, like, if your pillow made a crown of feathers or whatever, or it started to form something inside, that, you know, the hex was working on you, and you'd be full of feathers. The next person you see is a hex. Did you ever hear anything like that?
Yeah. Oh, I heard all kinds of tales, but I never paid attention to it.
Do you remember any of them, though?
Oh, well, not exactly.
Or one of them?
What was that? What they said, cow give bloody milk all the time?
Witch
who
done
used
that?
To say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, a witch was the cause of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And somebody got after her, and it's supposed to have been a woman. Somebody got after him. She turned around, cows all that. They said, just that quick. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but who used to say
that? Who used to say that?
Your dad used to tell that story, no? Somebody used to tell that.
Or they told me one that happened where this lady was pregnant and she killed a spider on her neck and her child was born with this big birthmark because she killed a spider.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But these people were really religious people. They were really God-fearing, good people, but some of them really, you know, really, I don't know if they really believed in it or maybe they did, I don't know. I mean, because when I remember when my grandmother used to tell me some of these stories, I'd be scared to death, you know, thinking that the hex was working on me or something. But is that what they call them, two hexes?
Hexes.
Some of them believe that they could change forms and shapes and everything else. That's what I've run across, too. Or they said sometimes when the guys, especially this one guy stayed too long at a tavern and was walking home and fell in a briar patch, his excuse to his wife was that the hex got him and beat him up or whatever, that's why he was late. But, you know, some of these people, but they say he was so drunk that he really believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any other ones that they, similarities or anything?
I can't think of it right now.
Well, if you ever do, write them down, because I think this is, I find it really interesting. I find, it's kind of cute, but it's still interesting that some of them, you know, believe, but a lot of them thought that hex was the devil too, I think.
You don't hear nothing about that right here anymore. Uh-uh.
No, I'm sure it's kind of died out. Yeah. But at one time, I think, when they were really conscientious about things and about their life and such, they looked to it as that. But I wonder if it was an import from Germany, if that's how their parents thought, or if it was something that they picked up in the States, or I don't know. I don't.
All my grandparents always talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take these old timers. They went with all kinds of signs, predicting the weather and how the crops is going to be and this or that's going to happen. And a lot of them come true this year.
Mm-hmm. Really, they say if you plant your crops by the sign of the moon, like a lot of them did, that they do better. Because aren't you plant? What is it? Is it when you plant the crops that grow under the ground by the dark of the moon, yeah, the ones that grow, that come up, like corn and stuff, by the light of the moon, that they do better.
I still like to watch that, but you can't always do it.
No, the weather's got to permit, too.
The weather has to be with it.
But the Farmer's Almanac, I know that's what my grandparents, that's what I'm basing a lot of this on, they went by that, and it has proved to be really accurate, one of the things. I mean, that's one thing I don't think that has lost its credibility over the years, is the Farmer's Almanac.
I still get that.
I do, too. It's got a lot of really interesting things, and that's what they really use. Which brings me to, what kind of traditions do you think are still alive in St. Leon that were brought over by your parents or grandparents? Or, I mean, like your winemaking, that is probably an age-old tradition, don't you think?
Well, I imagine a lot of guys make wine.
Oh, yeah.
Can you think of anything else that...
Some cure their own meat.
Some still do that?
Oh, yes. Make a kraut and a crock like they done years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's what I done yesterday.
Really put yours in? I try doing them too. Well, have the weddings changed over the years? Have you seen a big change in them? Besides maybe a more elaborate wedding party or something, but have you seen changes in tradition there, or is it basically about the same? Or do you remember like a shivaree? Did they
used to. They don't do that anymore. Though.
Were you shivareed on your wedding? Do you remember?
No. But they did. They put it just then.
Yeah, about that time it kind of died.
Because what did they? Didn't they? What did they do? They kind of make a lot of noise or whatever.
They wait about a week after you're married. You
know, around midnight, no?
Yeah, around midnight they'd come and run out of bed and stay all night, you know.
And party.
You know,
party.
Right. Yeah.
But they used to do that here then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think since they got these receptions after the wedding, you don't hear that.
No.
That's right, they are up till midnight.
Yeah.
Well, did they have big receptions like when you got married, or
No. Was
it more like a quiet affair?
At home.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't as elaborate as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Not so many people.
Yeah, that's probably a big change I've noticed, too, from that time. Let's see what else.
Would you want to know the names of the bells in our church?
Oh, yeah, you can give us that.
They cost $1,046. It was bought in Cincinnati. And it's St. Joseph, St. Gabriel, St. Mary, and St. Anne. I don't know if they have four bells. Just for these, what's this here?
You used to crawl up.
It says three of these bells. Now, wait a minute. It says three of these bells are on the church tower. In diameter, they measure 5 feet, 4 feet, and 3 feet. St. Joseph, which is the largest, weighs approximately a half a ton. The second largest is St. Mary's, and the smallest is St. Gabriel. The fourth bell is thought to be the one attached to the doorway in the sacristy. Well, they don't have that there anymore.
I thought it was only three.
That's what I thought, too.
Because they have a big wheel on them and a rope. So you have no power to swing it.
Can you tell us about the church in St. Leon? When was it built and is now?
When it was built.
It was probably built way before your time, wasn't it?
Before our time.
There's they started building everything right there.
Should have that. Then I think of this book. Okay, so the one that they laid the cornerstone in 1859 of the new church, that's the same church then?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah. And then that was probably all donated labor to build it?
I think so.
Well, the stones in the foundation of that church come off of this farm here.
Oh, really?
And all the stones in that stone church across the road come off of this farm.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't they burn down the brick for that church at St. Ann down where Joyce Butler lives now?
Yeah, they had a brick.
They had a brickyard down
there? A brickyard down there.
I think that's, I heard that story that they were burned down there in Greek. They were on the near across the road away from the church.
So, for the most part, is what you can remember or whatever, St. Leon has been predominantly Catholic. Was it ever? From what I understand, the first people that came here were Catholic. It was always a Catholic settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still so today? Is it still, you think
yes.
as much?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You think most of people that move in are practically all Catholics, I think.
Mm-hmm. How big is your parish now? How many families do you have? Do you know? I mean, I'm sure it's quite bigger than Yarkville, because Yarkville has 90 families.
I can get the directory looking.
New Elsa's has probably, I bet, over 150 families, don't you think? I mean, they're getting to be a pretty big parish. Too, they've had a lot of people move in. Well, you've had a lot of people move in, too,
oh,
I
yes.
think, in the past 10 years. A lot. More so than the other community, like Dover and Yarkville.
Oh, yeah.
And Guilford. Because I don't think Dover's that big of a parish
no.
either.
No. Well, see, it is a mission now.
Yeah, see, so is Yarkville. See, we only have a weekend priest. We don't have a full-time one. It's been that way since...
Why, who is the pastor then?
It's a father...
Brokerage?
Yeah, but Boker. Boker, he's, like, works at Catholic Charities.
I figured it was given in here how big the parish is, but it don't say.
It's over 200, I imagine.
200 families, you think?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'd say so, too.
See, back here, they had, in 1862, they had 120 families. And 115 pupils went to school. You can't hardly believe that.
Can't believe that, no.
115 pupils, gosh.
But yeah. Well, when we went to school, there was probably, what, about 80?
Yeah, close to 100, anyway.
Yeah,
well,
between 80 and 100.
Is your church able to accommodate all these people then? I mean, because I know when I've gone to Mass here, it's been fairly crowded in church.
Well, we have three Masses.
Because mm-hmm. your church is. But 200 families is quite a bit. I know this is one of the communities that has grown and not. You know, Yarkville has really gone down mm-hmm. in population and size since. Well, probably before World War II. And this is still a predominantly farming community, right? Mm-hmm. Except more people probably work out. Did anybody, can you remember anyone while you were growing up or while you were farming, working two jobs, or did they just mostly farm?
Not till the last, well, how old, maybe 10 years? We're trying to hold two jobs.
We was talking about that. When did Charge Hope, you said the country boys went to town? What year was that?
Well, that was back in about 1928 or 29. And, well, you might say when tractors started coming out, the farm boys started going to town.
Really?
Yeah. Well, back then, they paid good jobs. Farmers needed less help. But years ago, way back when I was a kid, well, the farm boys, if they went to work, they worked on another farm. Maybe went up north where they had bigger farms. Or
a lot of them went over to Illinois.
Yeah,
too,
went over to Illinois, places like that, worked on a farm. You didn't hear of anybody going to town working.
Oh, no.
That's what I heard, that a lot of them went to pick corn during the seasons and stuff, and travel from farm to farm. What would they do? Did you do anything like that? Did you travel out?
I started farming on my own when I was 17 years old.
When you were 17?
See, his dad died.
Oh, your dad, gosh,
when I was 17 years old, not too
he must have been a young man when he died.
48.
How did he die?
Oh, I don't know.
Or they didn't really, were able to pinpoint it, or?
No, them days they really didn't know what was really matters.
Did he?
More his liver, I think, than anything else.
Was he sick for a while?
Oh, for about a year.
Wow. Maybe. Were you the oldest son, or? Well, so you had to take over a lot of responsibility at that time. Probably had to grow up fast and learn how to plant those crops and everything.
Well, I already know it.
Well, what did you think of the transition from doing everything by hand to the machinery? Did you like the coming of the machinery?
Well, we just kind of went along with it. We farmed with horses up till 1949 about. Yeah, in 49 I bought the first rubber tire tractor.
Really? Oh.
Well, before that we had no steel.
Yeah.
But we didn't use it too much.
And we didn't have electricity till 1941.
When we first got married, we had coal oil lamps, wood stoves.
But we might be going back to that here shortly. Getting used to, I mean, people are now reverting more back to the wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad likes, well, just in the garden and stuff, having the workhorses instead of the tractor. He thinks it's easier to do. And
that's what you always say. It's easier than with tractors.
Because the horses are more, however you say, you get around better and such. I don't know, it is fun, though, doing it. But I can imagine when you... Because a couple people I've interviewed, they said that, you know, when I've asked them about the transition, they said they never dreamed that, you know, they could, would find a disc that could, you know, plow or, you know, or making rows for their corn, could, you know, plant four rows of corn at one time. Because they thought when the one row planter came out, that that was, you know, the neatest thing. And then they said when it got to two, three, I don't know how many rows they can plant today with one.
Really good for 20.
20? Oh, my gosh. But they said that was the big thing, you know, when they just thought that the...
Well, we could start horse farming. We've got a lot of equipment we could use here.
Oh, that's right, yeah. The only thing you said was hard in thrashing was carrying the wheat up in the bin. While they were thrashing it. We had to move and carry it up in the bin.
Well, how was it shucking corn by hand? I bet that was a job, wasn't it?
Oh, it was pretty good. I could throw 100 bushel a day.
How many?
100
bushel a day you could shuck?
About three shuckers to a wagon. That's
One guy could shuck 100
bushel. Oh, one guy.
One guy could shuck 100 bushels a day.
You go out in the morning, shuck 50, unload it, eat your dinner, go out, shuck another 50, come on when you eat supper, go out and scoop it off, and be ready for next morning.
How were your hands like by the end of the corn season? Were they pretty rough?
Yeah, it was fine. Pretty used to.
Oh, gosh. Well, how did you do take in your wheat notes? You cut it by hand or by then?
Well, we had a binder when we started. But we all set it up in the field, out in the field, and shots, and they hold them and thrash.
They say that used to be a big job, the thrashing of the wheat. Mm-hmm.
Didn't cost you nothing, though.
No.
Neighbors all got together and helped each other. Mm-hmm. And you're done, no expenses. A couple of cents a bushel for the thrashing you got.
They say that they used to all get together and help each other out, take turns. And
the only thing it cost you is a lot of eats.
A lot of eats.
Yeah, you have to have
the
eats. Big meal.
Did you find anything else, Rosemary?
Yes, St. Joseph's Day. In 1848, it couldn't be 1948 because we remembered then. You know, when the cholera was so bad.
Okay, just a second. Let me go.
Yes, St. Leon, May made a promise that if St. Joseph's would spare St. Lamb from the cholera, they would keep that as a holy day, and which they did for years. And nobody in St. Lamb died of the cholera, which in the neighboring parish is quite a few of them died.
I've noticed that. But there was a lot of young children that they lost.
Uh-huh.
Like out of New Elses and Yarkville cemeteries, there's these rows of little white tombstones. But you hardly lost any children then, or you didn't lose anyone.
We didn't lose, and nobody in St. Lamb even got the cholera.
They still observe that day?
Well, not like they used to. At first, you wasn't allowed. This was a holy day in St. Lamb. And in the early days, this meant going to church, no work, and a visit with the friends and relatives. Today, St. Joseph's Day, because of the growing number of factory workers who can't get from work, it's just another day, except for going to church. They don't keep it holy anymore, but they still go to church.
Yeah, I think it was around 1848. That cholera must have been around for a few years. I mean, it must have taken a while, because I can remember reading, like, from about 1848 to 1852, several children dying and such.
Well, this is kind of blurry, but it couldn't have been 1948, because that hadn't been too long ago.
Yeah, oh, it would. Well, can you think of any other traditions or anything you want said that we can use about St. Leon? Anything else you think should be noted or anything like that? Well, you probably still butcher your own cows and hogs and you make sauerkraut and basically do the same things that your parents did. And even now it's more economical to raise your own things where 20 years ago if you did, or 10 years ago, but now it's more economical if you can.
Of course, a lot of this stuff has changed, so we don't can meat and things like they did years ago. We put it in the freezer.
Right.
Same way with corn. I can remember packing corn, you know, cutting the corn off the top and putting it in the salt. A layer of corn and a layer of salt.
Oh, to preserve it over
the
winter?
Yeah, in a crock. I had a 3-gallon crock. Of course, then before you used it, you had to soak it overnight.
Hmm. I think people were healthier then, too.
Oh, yes.
Because of the food and not all the preservatives and such.
And sausage, you'd make it in little patties. You put it in a crock, a layer of sausage and a layer of lard. For your crock was full. I bet you remember that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then have what?
Liver pudding.
I mean, I'm sure the people then got a lot of salt, but it seemed to be that coarse salt that didn't have, obviously it wouldn't be your Morton.
It was so coarse.
Yeah,
it's all coarse salt.
I mean, the one that didn't have the additives added. Because, you know, everybody I ask, they can't really remember anybody really having cancer. You know, they say some people died of ailments that, you know, a few but not as many as I hear of now. Do you think that's true, or? Mm-hmm. Or do you think some people then had cancer too? Can you remember?
Mm-mm. Not true.
Well, they didn't call it cancer them days. They called it a different name for it. The old Germans, they always said they had the Krebs.
The what?
The Krebs.
How do you spell that?
The Krebs. That's a sign of on your calendar. That's cancer.
Oh, I see. The Krebs. Oh, okay. Yeah. Your zodiac sign.
Yeah.
Oh.
What they call the Krebs. In German, that's cancer on your zodiac sign. And that's the way they used to say it. If somebody died, well, they practically didn't know what was wrong, they were guessing. And they said that was nice. But you didn't hear very much.
It didn't seem like everyone I've talked to, it doesn't seem like that anyone really died that mysteriously, or somebody comes down with something and they're dead in 3-4 months or whatever. But I know times have changed a lot. But we're getting more back. It seems like now we're doing a turnabout, going back to more people are canning and putting out gardens and and raising their own beef and all that now. Than what there had been previously.
Only years ago with the vegetables, you never had any bean beetles. You didn't have to fight anything with that.
No. Well, oh, I can remember potato bugs, but
oh,
not
potato
bean
bugs.
Yeah,
not
potato bugs.
Because I was wondering, oh, because my tomatoes got the blight, my poor garden.
Blight.
I know, because you know, now we got all these pesticides that we can do. What did the farmers do back then?
Well, you didn't
have
them then.
You didn't need pesticides back then?
No. Well, I say we didn't have any bugs. There wasn't any bean beetle. I'm working on our lima beans, our string beans, right?
No, no, you never had mistletoe in your garden.
No.
Lime didn't grow.
And I was wondering about that.
And I can't remember when that started.
Did you find anything else, Rosemary?
Yes, you know, St. Graham is a corporation.
Yeah.
And that was, they really don't know just what year it was farmed, but Father Scheidler thinks it was around 1865. And the reason they incorporated it, the purpose of the corporation was to consolidate the two public schools. One was located east of St. Glen and the other one west of St. Glen. And in order for it to be a corporation, they had to have a certain number of pupils. And Father Scheidler was pastor from 1860 to 1874.
So you think he might have been instrumental in getting it to be a corporation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What helps St. Leon now today that it's a corporation too?
Keep up their roads.
Yeah, really.
It says another important factor of forming the corporation is the fact that the town is a corporated town. Their schools would be public schools, and consequently would qualify for state aid.
See, I never knew why none of the other towns around did that. Did New Elsa's, Dover, Yarkville, Guilford or Summan, none of that? Well, Summan is now. But I mean, Guilford probably did, but I think St. Leon was probably one of the first that became a corporation. That priest must have had some really foresight to him to do that.
Well, the reason they done it so they could get state aid.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you find anything else or any like other recipes or if you can think of any more of those witches' tales, write them down and drop them off at the library because if they are there are.